morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us for worship here in person and online. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
We will invite any children that are in the congregation that want to join us up here on the steps before we head to Children's Church. Come on up now. Our children will be meeting in Grant Hall as normal today. Youth group is in service today with their families. Come on up.
Come on up, friends. Yay. All right. So who knows what holiday it is tomorrow? Ooh.
Earth Day.
Earth Day. What does that mean? Do you know what that means?
like how it was like, how it like started or like?
Yeah, it's all correct. Everything you're saying is correct. Yes. Good. So let me ask you a question. When you are standing outside and it's nighttime and you look up in the sky, what do you see?
Stars.
Oh, you can say it all together really loud. One, two, three.
Stars.
Okay. When it's daytime out and you look up, what do you see in the sky?
Stars.
Good. When you are standing on a beach and you look out, what do you see? The ocean, water, does it seem like it goes on forever and ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all part of God's creation. That is all a part of the earth. So on Earth Day, we celebrate all of the creation and think about things that we can do to make the earth a better place. So let me ask you, when you think about what are some things that we can do to make the earth that we live in a better place, what do you think?
Clean up trash and recycle it.
Good. Clean up trash and recycle it. What else?
At some schools, they like organize a trash hunt where you pick up trash.
Yeah, good. Yes, what else?
Use less plastic.
Good. Use less plastic. What's some else we can do?
We could plant some more plants.
Plant some more plants. Yes, what else can we do?
You can grow more trees.
Grow more trees? Oh my goodness. You all have all the answers. Let me tell you, one more over here. Yes.
Stop using electric cars other than gas cars.
Yep. Good.
I love the sermons that we're getting out here.
Yeah, I'm telling
it's
you
really,
what.
Really good. Reverend
we
Kathy,
can all learn some lessons, us as adults, from all of you. So these are some things that we're going to think about, and all of our lessons have been about Compassion Camp, and we are talking now about the air and things that we can do to make the air better, and that car, switching over to electric cars, that's something that can help with pollution. Yeah, solar power, all of the answers right here in case you were wondering. You all are amazing. So that's what we're going to talk about. And this is my challenge to you for the next few weeks. If you see something on the ground, picking it up, right? Reminding us as adults, hey, we shouldn't be using more plastic, right? Or thinking about all of the different things, planting flowers, planting trees, planting plants. Yes, what else, Annalie?
One time, my teacher picked up a trash and threw it away.
See, that's a good lesson. All right, so we are going to close in prayer, and then we are going to go and have our lesson today. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer. Dearest Lord, thank you for this beautiful earth, and thank you for these wonderful young people that are leading the path toward taking care of your creation and all of the things that you have given us. Help us be a reminder to listen to them and to take note from all of the wonderful words of the children that have been shared here. And leave this place better than we found it. And all God's children said, Amen. All right, we are going to go off to children's church, and then the bells are going to play.
And while we do that, you're invited to all stand, and please pass the peace of Christ to one another. Not yet. Sorry. No, don't stand. Take that back. Have a seat, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bell Choir. Now you can stand up and greet each other with the peace of Christ the way you feel comfortable. Quickly, before you sit back down, let's give a wave up to our production team up there and the live stream and everyone that's watching us at home. All right. Good to see you all today. As we enter into a time of prayer, let's take a moment to quiet our minds, sit back, take a deep, calming breath, and let's prepare our hearts as the chancel choir leads us in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, thank you for this Sunday. Lord, we come before you first and foremost with hearts of gratitude. You've seen us through another week, and we stand at the beginning of a fresh week full of new beginnings. We lift up the prayers of our church family, continued prayers for Chumki, Ruth, Tony, Brian, and Zachary. We pray for those who are experiencing huge life changes, medical procedures, life-altering diagnosis, and those dealing with aging family members or the loss of loved ones. May those going through overwhelming seasons of life be with them. May your love surround them, bring them comfort, courage, and strength. On this Earth Day, we pray for our world and the issues that arise from 7 billion people sharing this planet. Help guide our daily actions and thoughts to becoming better stewards of your Earth. Prince of Peace, we ask you for the end of war and the many ongoing conflicts. Please bring peace, hope, and solace to those whose lives have been devastated. We know your love transcends geographical, ideological, and political boundaries. We pray for transformed hearts, turning adversaries into peacemakers, that they may work together for lasting resolutions. Knowing you're always walking closely with us, may we now individually lift up to you the concerns, challenges, and praises of our hearts in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, thank you that we are able to be here today, gathered together to worship you. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your Spirit that we may feel your grace, joy, and peace because of your presence within us. And now we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Happy Earth Day, as we learn from the kids. Good morning. How are we all doing today? Good? Good morning. It's a beautiful day outside. It's not even raining today. Last week, we had a great time. I just want to share a couple pictures with you from Project Angel Food. There's about 15 of us that went. And we worked in their kitchen for about 2.5 hours and made almost 3,000 meals packaged and ready to go and be delivered that week for seriously ill people all over LA. So we really enjoyed our time there. Next time we're gonna go as a group, we're gonna go July 14th. So you can sign up at the welcome table already if you wanna plan your summer. I've been saying this for a couple weeks, so it's not new to some of you, but if you haven't grabbed one of these, this is our event flyer. And I just skipped over checking in. I'm so sorry, Sebastian. We'll do the event flyer first. Pick up one of these. They're on the welcome tables. They're also in the pew in front of you. So if you want to grab one of those, you can. Now, let's get out our phones. Sorry about that. And check in. If you can, just scan that QR code. Drop your name in there. Let us know you're here today. Watching online as well, too. You can do this. And if you'd like to be part of our email list, you can put your email in there. And if you have a prayer request, please share those as you feel comfortable. We've gathered those every Monday, and the pastoral staff prays over them throughout the week. Okay, a couple things happening today. We do have a new membership class with Rev Kathy that is beginning. That is going to be in the bishop's office at 12:15. We also have Ruth's small group, which is meeting in the Grace Room at 12:15. And for any of you that would like to discuss the transition that's going to happen July 1st with the governance board, we'll be meeting in the chapel at 12:15 to have a conversation about that. So a couple things happening, but first get your cookies out at the courtyard first before you go. Also, I want to say real quickly, Monday, which was just brought to my attention, if you're part of the United Women in Faith Book Club, they are meeting Monday at 6 p.m. on the Zoom link, which we have at the welcome table as well. And then a couple things to put on your radars coming up in the next couple of weeks. Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on the 4th of May, we're going to make some tamales in the kitchen for an organization called NINO. Let me see if I get this right, Matt. Northeast Organization. I knew I wouldn't. Northeast Neighborhood Outreach. They prepare meals on Saturday, and they deliver them to people in need in the Silver Lake, in the Los Feliz area on Sunday. So if you can help with that, we're going to steam some tamales on Saturday afternoon at 1. May 5th, though, please be here if you can for a blessing bag build. We're going to build 500 blessing bags in the gym, and you can take a few of them home with you and hand them out to anybody that you see in need that could use one. So those are coming up in the next 2 weeks. Of course, after church today, I'll be out in the courtyard right next to the desserts. If you have any questions, come see me. Also, if you don't know where any of the rooms are that I talked about, I'll direct you to them. But we have a lot of great things coming up in the next few months. So like I said, grab one of these. But the reason that we're able to do all these great events, outreach, and volunteer opportunities is because of you. From your prayers, your presence, your service and volunteering, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, receive what the Spirit is saying."
There's a gray river of doubt between my head and my heart. They say seeing is believing, but I only see myself reflected in the currents of the great unknown. I need a savior. Carry my head and heart on.
Today we continue our Eastertide sermon series, Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith, based on a book of the same name by Adam Hamilton. Everyone has doubts. Often we treat our questions as perhaps the enemy of our faith, but uncertainty does not mean that our belief is lacking. Doubt can be a path to a richer, deeper encounter with God. Today we're not going to just wrestle with doubt, but we're going to wrestle with the concept of hell. This is a 15th century painting by Botticelli entitled Chart to Hell, based on the nine circles of hell found in Dante's Divine Comedy, which can make us wonder, is hell an actual place with red hot flames and a little guy with a pitchfork? Is it a feeling or is it a set of feelings? Is hell a fear tactic, i.e. you can avoid hell in the afterlife by being a Christian? Is hell a spiritual place where God is absent? Or is it a metaphor for an insufferable personal or professional relationship? Now, none of these are necessarily mutually exclusive, but let's look first at what the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures say about hell. Now, interestingly, there is no mention of hell in the Old Testament. There's talk of God's judgment on the wicked, but the prophet spoke of the day of the Lord, a day of judgment in this life, usually coming at the hands of enemy forces like the Assyrians or the Babylonians or someone else. While death itself was seen as a form of punishment, the Hebrew word Sheol refers to the realm of the dead, the idea of a burning lake of fire where the damned are sent to be eternally tortured. It's just not found in the Hebrew scriptures. However, in the New Testament, hell is mentioned a total of 13 times, 12 of them using the Greek word Gehenna, and all 12 spoken by Jesus. Gehenna was the name of a valley in Jerusalem, thought to be the location of Jerusalem's trash dump, where fires were kept burning to consume the city's waste, a powerful metaphor for judgment. There are other references Jesus makes to a punishment after death without using the word Gehenna. He describes a place of outer darkness or a burning fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when Jesus refers to these, it's almost always referencing those who know God yet fail to live as God's people or whose lives fail to bear fruit. Think of Matthew 25. The parable of the sheep and the goats, in which Jesus clearly lays out the social justice criteria for who will be invited to inherit the kingdom and others thrown into eternal punishment. C.S. Lewis once famously said that the doors of hell are locked on the inside. I take that to mean that the inhabitants of hell in this life or the next are there by their own choice, their own volition, not because God has sent them there or wants them to be there. Hamilton muses that perhaps Lewis was also suggesting that even hell, or the concept of hell, is intended by God to lead people to repentance and reconciliation with their loving Creator. In a church I served a long time ago, at the beginning of my ministry, there was a family who the mom and the, in this case, happened to be a mom and a dad, and kids, and the mom and the kids would come to church, but the, let's just call him a philanderer to be nice. And one day he started coming to church with the family, and then they kept coming and coming, and I told him how nice it was to have him in worship. And he said, well, a few months ago I went to a men's revival at some stadium, and he said, with some buddies, and I guess there must have been a lot of hellfire and brimstone at that revival, because it shook him to his core. And he told me, he said, I don't want to go to that fiery place. I know I need to change, and I have. Now, I don't believe in using hell or the concept of hell as a scare tactic to push Christianity. This, with my broken voice here, is about as hellfire and brimstone of a sermon you'll ever hear me preach. But if that was the nudge that that man needed to help to stop messing around and be the person his family needed, so be it. Another way hell is used as a scare tactic is in our reading from John 14 this morning. When selections are read from John 14 at a memorial or funeral service, this particular verse is intentionally omitted in our United Methodist Book of Worship because it's too often taken out of context. The verse is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what does that mean? If you're not a Christian, you're going to go to hell when you die? I think 68% of the world's population that does not claim Christianity might have a problem with that. I know I do. In what universe can we reconcile our loving God with condemning those who don't live like us or love like us or worship like us? There are, though, those people who take the Bible literally and believe it to be inerrant, who do believe just that. Well, let's unpack a little bit about why that's the case, why that's not the case. So first, why are there so many religions? We know that human population began around 60,000 years ago, and about 35,000 years ago, there was evidence found of culture, of rituals of community, of rituals of burial. Then 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived and died and was resurrection, and in doing so, Christ upended nearly every human construct to show us God's way. Now, Hamilton's theory is that up to that point, God seemed content to let humans grapple with our purpose and identity without giving us all the answers. God gave enough evidence for creation and experiences of the divine, but God wasn't concerned whether we got it right or not. None of us, as God knows, can figure it all out. Our finite brains cannot comprehend the vastness and the enormity of God. And so religions and faith traditions developed organically, and they happen in different ways. In a sermon a couple of years ago, Hamilton used the metaphor of the optometrist tool that's used to check our eyesight. And I know there's an actual name for it, and I don't know what that is. But when we start looking through the lenses, as we've all done, it's very blurry, and it's hard to make out even the largest letters on the wall. But as the doctor refines our sight by swapping out lenses, things begin to sharpen and come into focus until we find the best lens that we need to be able to see clearly. Now, for some of us, that's how our faith has worked. We might have grown up believing one thing, but as an adult, it just didn't work for us. So we explored other and different expressions of faith, and eventually we settled on one. For me, I found Jesus to be the lens through which I understand God. Others have their own religious experiences that are their lenses to God. And having done interfaith and ecumenical work, I find my own faith strengthened when working alongside folks from other traditions. And it can be fun. Let's watch.
That is a great question. I gotta go. Long story short, you're probably fine. Yeah, bye. Sorry, man.
No worries, we're not late.
Let's go. Where am I going? What's going on?
Seatbelt.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Go, go, go. Go. Oh!
Seriously, guys?
Can I change the music?
No.
Okay.
All right.
There he is.
Nice shoes.
Yeah, those are cool.
Can you go any slower?
We're fine. We're not late.
We're late now.
I got this.
Looking good, boys.
I know.
Let's do this.
Come on.
See what happens when you're late?
You're already down.
No, it actually wasn't my fault.
Oh, come on.
I was not that late.
See, even though we have different expressions, we're all on the same team. And that's what that Toyota commercial was all about. What can I say? In describing a Christian inclusivist, Hamilton writes that to be an inclusivist is to trust that God knows the heart of each person, no matter what their faith tradition, that God judges in the light of God's mercy and love, and that God can apply the salvific work of Jesus Christ to anyone that God chooses, rejecting the idea that anyone who doesn't personally accept Christ will be eternally tormented in hell. Perhaps our own founder of Methodism, John Wesley, said it best. If the heart of a human be filled with the humble, gentle, patient love of God and humanity, God will not cast that one into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In our remaining time, while my voice doesn't give out, I want to speak briefly about our denomination's 2020 General Conference, which will finally happen beginning this coming Tuesday. Family, this can be the General Conference that overturns the hell that the denomination has inflicted on our LGBTQ siblings for the past 50 years, and I pray that it is so. Our CalPAC delegation has three priorities, calling the three R's. First, removing the anti-LGBTQ statements and policies from the Book of Discipline, approving the revised social principles as offered by our General Board of Church and Society, and finally, adopting a regionalization plan that allows us as a denomination to better function as a worldwide church in different contexts. I invite you to join me in praying for the General Conference, which is meeting in Charlotte, and for our conference delegation, which includes Pastor Mark Stevenson and our incoming co-pastor, Reverend Hannah Bonner. May their efforts, along with others, bring full inclusion of all God's children, without exception, into our denomination, something that we here at Hollywood have stood for decades. And then, in place of the nine circles of hell, may we begin to experience nine circles of healing. Amen. belong to God and to one another. Go forth this week to love and serve the world. Amen.